I'm going to read from Luke 2, 21 to 38. 8 days later, this is 8 days after the birth of Jesus, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was the time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was on him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Let's pray. God, thank you for the stories and examples of Scripture. Thank you for those who wrote down the story of Jesus and those around him. God, thank you that we have a chance to engage with it, and in some beautiful way, you extend your life to us through engaging with this written word. God, thank you for your Spirit at work among us. Thank you for this new year and for what is to come in it, for you are going to do in us and among us during this year to come. God, as we enter this year, for some, this will be a year of change and transition, and I pray for those who are going through that or will experience that. For some, this is a continuation of struggle. We give you thanks for sustaining us thus far and ask that you would continue to sustain us when we don't know how we can take another step. Thank you for healing. I especially think of Peter and how well he is doing after such a long struggle. Thank you for healing for Wilfred and the work through the doctor's hands and feet. Thank you for many other stories of healing. For those who are currently in the waiting, in the struggling, in the asking questions, in the wondering, in the hurting, in the grieving, God, I just ask that you would continue to sustain them and make them aware of your presence. Help them to be faithful through the struggle. God, I just ask that you would give us individually and collectively an awareness of where you are at work in the world and the courage to step in and participate in what you're doing. God, thank you that you're not done with us and that we have the privilege of partnering with you, even as we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This morning, I just ask that as we consider this brief story of Scripture found in Luke 2, that you would help us to be encouraged on our journey with you and have a deeper sense of what you're up to among us. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a fast society. We want things fast, right? Fast food, instant messaging. I'm convinced instant messaging is not called instant messaging because of how quickly messages are sent. it's because of how quickly people expect replies. Like nothing, and I don't have an iPhone, so I don't get this, but like, how do you guys feel when you see those three dots just sitting there, and then still sitting there, and then still sitting there? Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Be glad I don't have an iPhone because I would do that to people on purpose. But instant updates, right? Like, I'm all present right now, but if the Blue Jays signed Vladimir Guerrero Jr. this morning, I would expect to see an update popping up on one of my devices, right? Like, we want things quickly. I will say there are signs that people are starting to tire of quick everything and are opting for things that are a bit more bespoke or crafted. My only caveat to that is, like, I want a well-made cup of tea, not just something instant from somewhere. But I also want to be able to like pre-order it on my app so I don't have to wait for it when I get there. We want things fast. We struggle to wait. Let me just ask out loud, and maybe, Joe, we can get the room mics on so people online can hear. Hey, everybody online. What are some things that are hard to wait for? That you have to wait, but man, it's hard. Lots of nodding. Yes.
The commercials on CNN.
Waiting for commercials, yeah. Yeah. Waiting for a baby. Yeah.
Dessert.
Waiting for dessert. Okay.
Bus.
Waiting for the bus.
Yeah.
Waiting for a spouse.
I'm gonna say healing.
Waiting for healing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, waiting for
payday.
Waiting for payday. Waiting for answers to prayer.
Summer.
Waiting for summer. Yes.
Sunshine.
Waiting for sun. Yeah. What the flip side is, there are some things we gladly wait for. At least I think there probably are. What are some things that we will gladly wait for that? Not because we don't want it to come right now, but because we're so excited for it.
Light.
Yeah.
Holidays. Tax returns.
Holidays, tax returns. Yeah.
Jesus is returning.
Yeah, the return of Jesus. Making everything right again.
A good meal.
A good meal.
Yeah. Visiting friends.
Visiting friends. Good to have you guys here.
Vacations.
Yeah. Vacations. Holidays. Absolutely. Well, in the story that we just read, we have a couple of people who, they're
a part of a nation that's been waiting for centuries. And they find themselves specifically waiting for this Messiah. They're waiting for a promise of God to be fulfilled. I think we got a picture of Simeon and Anna. Did extensive historical research. This is, I'm pretty sure, exactly what they look like. What is interesting about Simeon and Anna is that they are a part of a people that have been waiting for centuries. They themselves have been waiting for a long time. We don't know how old Simeon is, but it talks about he had been promised that he wouldn't die until he saw the promised Messiah. And then when he sees the Messiah, he's like, okay, you can dismiss me in peace. Like, you get the sense he's pretty old. Anna, it says that she was married for 7 years and then, depending on the translation, it could be read that she lived to 84 years old after being married for 7 years, remembering that they get married fairly young, so that could have been like over 60 years of being a widow. Other translations say that she was actually widowed for 84 years. Either way, especially in that culture, that day and age, she was very old for that day and age. And they have been waiting for a long time. What fascinates me is that the words to describe the waiting that they're involved in, one with Simeon, it's eagerness. There was an eagerness to his waiting. And then when Anna saw Jesus, she talked to everybody who was waiting with expectation for the Messiah. Sometimes we wait for things for so long that there's no longer a sense of eagerness
or even an expectation. In our heads, we say, yeah, we're expecting that that will happen. Kinda. Eventually, maybe. But we maybe aren't eager for it to happen. They held on to, somehow they held on to this eagerness and expectation that what God said was going to happen was indeed going to happen. And even as they sat there with this eagerness and expectation, the flip side of that, when we have this eagerness and expectation for something to happen, it can leave us not doing our part. You know, if I know that, if I have this expectation that that I'm going to get a great meal, I might just sit back and wait for it to show up rather than participating in helping that great meal to happen. For example, Simeon and Anna are both described as being faithful. Even while they were waiting, even while they were waiting for a long time, they were faithful. Simeon is described as being righteous and devout. There's this ongoing work of faithfulness in his life. Anna, she says she never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. So we're talking over 60 plus years of just faithful, working, waiting, worshiping, praying. Faithfulness over this long haul while they waited with eagerness and expectation. I have to admit, I would get tired of waiting, and I'd probably get tired of doing all the right things to that end if I didn't start to see something. But they did. And then I love how they responded when they saw Jesus, because they celebrated this baby. We have to remember that a baby is not what they were expecting in a Messiah. It was a king. And all this is a kid in the arms of a poor couple. And yet they knew that this was God doing something, and they celebrated, even though it was really only the beginning of a fulfillment, or even a partial fulfillment. And they celebrated with an eagerness that we normally reserve for full completion, right? Like Simeon saying, now let your servant die in peace. I saw the baby. I don't even need to see the rest of it, God. I've seen it. I get it. I've seen your salvation. And Anna, she began praising God and talking about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. I can imagine her being so excited to tell everybody about this baby. And all these other people who are waiting for this Messiah to come in on a white horse are like, What are you so excited about? But she didn't. She had this unreserved celebration, even though they hadn't seen everything that God was going to do. I'm convinced that they could wait and they could be faithful because they realized, and we see this in their language, that it was God that was going to do his work. It wasn't up to them. And Simeon says, I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. Anna says talks about those waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. If things aren't up to us, if there's nothing we can do to make things go faster, maybe that can actually help us in our waiting. It's not up to me. No amount of anxiousness, no amount of trying to force things is going to make it happen faster. So maybe waiting in faithfulness is all we can do sometimes. Because God's going to do his thing. Simeon and Anna, they embodied this, what I'm calling patient faithfulness, while they were waiting for God to do God's work. They did what they should while waiting for God to do what only God could. I think this is a pattern that it exists in the Old Testament, although over and over again in the Old Testament, part of the story is people struggled with the waiting. They got anxious. They tried to force things. They tried to do things their own way, and inevitably it went sideways because they weren't comfortable with waiting for God to do what God was going to do. And I think it's something that the church has struggled with for lots of years. In the theological world, there's the language that we use is already and not yet. As in, God's already done this, like the stuff has been started, but it's not yet fulfilled. I think we got a slide that just says, like, again, God is doing the work. It's already underway. It's already happened. In fact, Jesus said it is finished, but it's not yet fully complete. We don't see the fruit of everything that Jesus ushered into the world. And the hard part is that we live in between those things. We live in this place between the already and the not yet, and that's waiting. It's like the tree's been put up, and the presents have all been decorated, but it's not time to open them yet. Or the food's all been prepared, and it's all on the table, and you have to keep telling your teenage son, stop, because the guests aren't here yet. It's not time to eat that yet. That waiting in between. We got to hold on to the already, that it's been done, and look forward to the not yet. It will be done. Yeah.
Patient surrender.
Yeah.
So it's also about surrendering to what God's plan is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's part of where I'm going with this. Is sometimes we want to make things happen our way rather than waiting for God to do what God's going to do.
One of the beautiful things about Anna and Simeon is that they didn't see what the common understanding of what the Messiah was going to be, but they were open enough to recognize that this is God showing up and doing his work. One of the, there's a book I read some time ago. I love, it's a really cool book, but it's called The Patient Ferment of the Early Church, The Improbable Rise of Christianity in the Roman Empire. I can tell you're all excited. It's a history book, largely, that tells the story about how this strange kind of offshoot of Judaism went from being kind of predominantly poorer Jewish people to becoming the dominant religion in the Roman Empire, or a dominant religion, even before Constantine. And one of my favorite chapters is chapter 5. It basically talks about how the early church sought to try to just embody God's way in the world. So doing what they could do, being faithful, while waiting for God to do God's work. All the while they would celebrate, they would write and be like, this is the kind of people we're trying to be. This is what we are trying to be about. They're celebrating what they were doing and what God was doing among them. And one of the chapters that I really love, chapter 5, it's called, the chapter title is Communities as Cultures of Patience. That gatherings of Christian communities were cultures of patience, where they were willing to wait. Not push, not force, not rush, but wait together for God to do his work. Wait for change to happen. Wait for transformation. To just wait together, to be patient together. An example of that is, the author uses this as an example, and the example that he uses is from the Isaiah passage where Isaiah talks about them beating swords into plowshares. These people moving away from being violent people. And he quotes Justin Martyr, who is second century, like born just after 100 AD or CE. He's sometimes called Justin the philosopher, but he became called Justin Martyr because he was martyred and killed, executed in Rome for his faith.
But he wrote this about what they were and what they were trying to aspire to be as the church. So we who were filled with war and mutual slaughter and every wickedness have each through the whole earth changed our warlike weapons, our swords into plowshares and our spears into implements of tillage. And we cultivate piety, righteousness, philanthropy, faith, and hope, which we have from the Father himself through him who was crucified. Now, does this mean that they didn't struggle with retaliation or violence? No, it meant that this is what they knew Jesus was calling them into, cultivating things rather than dividing things and conflict. And he was writing about their deepest reality even as they were trying to become that. The author of the book of The Patient Ferment says, the Isaiah prophecy gave imaginative expression to what they had learned from Jesus. So what God did was shape their imagination and hope about what they were waiting for while giving shape to how they worked that out in the present. Saying, okay, we're a people of peace. That's not just something we say. That's something we both long for and work towards. We are a people of reconciliation. That's just not just something we say. It's something we long for and we work towards. We foresee a day when all people will be gathered around the table in worship and unity. But if we're going to foresee that day and long for that day, then we got to start living that out, right? It's a both and. It's recognizing that God is doing this. It's not there yet. And in the waiting, how do we serve faithfully? Think about some of the metaphors to describe the reality of the church in Scripture. One of them is engagement, the bridegroom waiting for the bride. We are the bride that is being prepared. Now, keep in mind, this is not an indictment on brides and how long it takes them to get ready. That's not what I'm saying. In their culture, there was a process of things that led the bridegroom to be waiting for the bride to come. And it's this picture of waiting and eager excitement that the engagement, like the commitment has already happened, that they're going to be in this life together, and now we're waiting for that final fulfillment. Another metaphor, Scripture talks about the world being the pains of childbirth. Talk about waiting for a baby. That, I am the last person who should speak to this, but that waiting is not a painless waiting. Right? It's there's a pain and a toil and, well, a labor involved in that waiting for the beauty of the child to emerge. Another one of the metaphors is about a seed growing up into a tree. None of these things happen in a moment. None of these things happen instantly. None of these things can happen if we require everything to be immediate and we aren't willing to wait. We need to think about what we're waiting for and how we can serve faithfully while we're waiting for God to do God's work. And in the meantime, maybe we can celebrate a little. Maybe the birth thing is a great picture, because one of the fun things about a birth is the amount of celebration that happens before the baby actually shows up, right? The baby showers and the celebrations, and that happens with a wedding as well. Like, we need to be in the habit of celebrating. And this is, I admit, hard for me. I'm not a great celebrator. But often, we want to celebrate the finished thing. I grew up in church. I've been in church for 48 and a half years. And almost every testimony was about, I used to be like this, but now it's done and I'm like this. Look how everything's tied up in a neat bow. Rather than acknowledging the struggle and celebrating on the way. That's one of the things that AA does well, is they celebrate in the process. They celebrate on the journey. And we can be people who are waiting and working and celebrating. We're going to As we get started in this year, we are going to be focusing around the third of our three priority words, and that's the word become. A year ago, we talked about beloved, and we spent a lot of time there. In September, we talked about belong, and we're going to be leaning into this idea of become, and we're going to revisiting it throughout the year. Because we are saved not just to get out of hell or to escape struggles in the world. In fact, the passage we read from Romans earlier says, yeah, it's good. There are going to be struggles. We're saved to become what God created us to be. Being a part of the way of Jesus involves learning to live in line with the heart of God, learning what that heart is and learning to live in line with it. The Bible talks about it with a bunch of different turns of phrase. It talks about being transformed into the image of the Lord, being conformed to the image of God's Son. It says we should take on the mindset of Christ. It talks about us imitating Christ, walking in the same way as Christ. And that is really becoming. But that takes time and patience with ourselves and with each other. One of my biggest frustrations until I learned to embrace it was when we've done the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality course here. I'd done it several times, and you start to think, okay, I'm starting to get a hang of this. And then I go back and do it again and realize, oh, that thing that, like the first time I did it, that surfaced, that's still there. It's not there like it was, but it's still there. It's not all done yet. It's a process. And at first, that can be really demoralizing until we realize that actually it's all a part of growing. We can be patient and give. And I don't have to be discouraged because I'm still struggling with it. I can actually celebrate because I'm not struggling with it the way I once was. We, together, are not done on our journey by any stretch of the imagination. But rather than being discouraged about where we're struggling, we can celebrate what God has been doing and is doing. As we talk about becoming, we are going to eventually get into some really practical things. But for the first while, we're going to just look at some foundational realities about becoming. And as we begin this year, as we focus on becoming, there's a prayer that I would love for us to keep at the heart of things. Because it would be easy to think about becoming in a way that becomes about rules or standards or compliance rather than it being an invitation to growth. And when we think about what we're waiting for, I offer this is from 2 Peter 3:18. I offer this verse as a prayer, an invitation for us to hold on to as we lean into this year to come. 2 Peter wrote, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." Because if we do nothing else this year, but we do that, it's going to be an awesome year. And God's going to do some really special things among us. Let me pray. God, thanks that you're at work in us, among us, through us. Thanks that you're not done with us. God, give us patience as we wait. As we look around at a world that is not the way it's supposed to be, and everything in us cries out and says, this isn't right. I feel confident that there's going to be stuff happening this year that stirs that up in us. God, help us to be patient. Help us to serve faithfully, trusting that you are doing your work and that we get to be a part of it. God, help us to have the eyes and ears of Anna and Simeon that see the early stages of your work and are excited to celebrate it. God, help us to serve faithfully in the waiting. God, help us as we do that to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, all of the glory of this belongs to you, and we ask that we would be faithful in pointing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.